We have Brother Dan Trina, and he has selected as his subject, Thanks for Giving. Thanks for Giving, Brother Dan.
When was the last time you stopped during your busy daily schedule to actually bend down, pick up a rose, and smell it? Already your minds are probably just imagining what that odor is like. You know, we can think of smell. We don't really have to have it in front of us. Have you ever had the experience of looking at God's creation of beauty from a mountaintop? Have you ever considered the heavens? In Psalms 8, 3 and 4, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou dost take thought of him? And the son of man that thou dost care for him? Our lives are surrounded and blessed with gifts from God. We have a God who gives generously. In 1 Timothy 6:17, trust in God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. And in Corinthians, Paul elaborates further on the gifts of interpretation, teaching, understanding, gifts of faith, spiritual gifts. Does our giving God ever stop giving? 4 days from now, our nation will be celebrating Thanksgiving Day. Many thousands of families will be gathering around the dinner table to partake of a feast of fat things. And thanks to organizations such as the Salvation Army, even the homeless and underprivileged will enjoy a Thanksgiving dinner. As Thanksgiving approaches, we reflect on many gifts that God has given to us. In Psalms 9, 1 and 2, we read, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell all thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praises to thee, to thy name, O Most High. Our prayers of thanksgiving cover a wide variety of things. And you know, if you take in consideration the last just 2 or 3 months, think about all the prayers we've heard just off this platform. All the prayers that we have given thanks to God for. We thank God for temporal provisions, natural things, our brethren, experiences, the easy ones and difficult ones, just as Mark has talked about. Life itself, our Lord Jesus. We thank God for meetings and conventions, the truth, the Holy Spirit, wisdom from God, guidance and direction, our families, answers to prayer, sentiments of a hymn, even the prospects of God's kingdom. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. Psalms 100, verse 4. Now, and all of us at one time have given thanks to God for one or more of these gifts. And I'm sure that in our own minds we have probably thought about what is the most important. What really is on our mind? What are we most thankful for? Now, you've probably already have listed some additional gifts that weren't on my list. And in thinking about these gifts, think about which one in your mind would be a number one gift. What would it be? Would it be the natural gifts? Genesis 1, 1 to 2, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless. When we consider our earth, we can look at earth as a self-sufficient spacecraft. In Job 26:7, New American Version, we read, He stretches out the north over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. The spacecraft Earth has a diameter of 7,900 miles, and it weighs 6.6 sextillion tons. Don't try to think what that is, but that's 6.6 with 21 zeros, and that's in tons. Our spacecraft is traveling through space at a rate of 66,700 miles per hour. It makes one revolution around our sun every 365.3 days. And while all this motion is taking place, the Earth is rotating on its axis at 1,000 miles per hour. This self-sufficient spacecraft is capable of producing all the food, air, and water for its 5 billion inhabitants forever. The engineers of the spacecraft haven't even begun to tap the energy sources that are available to them. Solar energy literally pours onto the Earth at a rate of 1 million kilowatts per second per square kilometer. And we are using less than 1% of what's available. Water covers 75% of the Earth, and this is a resource that will never be used up because the Earth has natural systems that recycles its water supplies so it can be used over and over again. Oxygen is produced from the trees, which naturally purify the air by removing the carbon monoxide. This wonderful Earth can capably produce 40 tons of food per person during his lifetime, and that's 100 times more than each individual needs. As we look around us, we see the beauty of the clouds, wind, rain, sights, and color. We hear the sounds about us. The list is endless. Unfortunately, the managers of this planet have fallen short in exercising care over these natural gifts. Mankind is destroying his self-sufficient environment by polluting the rivers, lakes, and oceans with garbage and chemical wastes. Our air is being violated with factory pollution, automobile exhaust, and numerous other airborne substances. Man is removing the rainforests of South America at an astonishing rate of 1 acre per minute, and the U.S. government has allowed foreign countries to rape our own national forests, destroying trees which are over 100 years old. And at this rate, our spacecraft is headed for rapid extinction. But our loving God is about to shower mankind with still another precious gift. The resurrection of all who have ever lived. Man will be given the opportunity to live forever on a perfect earth. In Isaiah 45:18, we read, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he had established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. In Psalms 119:90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Truly, this earth and its natural things must rank high on the list of importance in our minds. Another gift that we can consider would be our brethren and families. We as the children of God have a very special relationship with each other. In Hebrews 10:24 and 25 we read, Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has caused us to come together for the natural or mutual edification, encouragement, and strengthening of each other. For instance, in our ecclesia, we have elders who teach and oversee the truth, breaking open the storehouse of truth every Sunday. We have two studies, a special selection meeting, which may be a testimony, devotional, panel discussion, special studies or deacon symposiums. And everyone has an opportunity to participate at one time or another. We're also privileged to have 5 weeknight study meetings, teenage and young adult meetings, and seminars for our young people. We have many occasions to meet together. We, as one family in the Lord, enjoy the unique privilege of visiting brethren almost anywhere in our country and in other parts of the world. Brethren welcome one another warmly as a member, just like their own family. What could be more natural and fulfilling than the desire to commune with all who are of like precious faith, all who are undergoing a polishing of character and disposition as respect to God's righteousness? Our Lord points out that love of the brethren will be a marked quality in all his servant sons. For he that loveth him that begat loveth also him that is begotten of God. 1 John 5:1. It is not uncommon for brethren of mutual love to meet often. Forget not the assembling of yourselves together. There is also thought in the word together. The sons of God are not merely anxious for meeting together. We also look forward for the fellowship at one another. We all have similar characters, similar faith in the precious blood of Jesus, similar consecration, and all of us are passing through the hands of the great polisher. Desire for fellowship is not selfishness. On the contrary, our Lord declares that those who love light come to the light. If one hurts, we all hurt. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What could be a better Thanksgiving than the coming together for the building up and edification of each other, and especially in view of our adoption into the family of God as sons and joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Lord? If so be that we suffer with him, then may we also be glorified together. Romans 8:17. The brethren definitely ranks high on our list of gifts. What about another gift? Another gift from God is the gift of his only begotten Son, Jesus. This could be the number one gift of all. Jesus has done so much for us, and we have done so little for him. The debt we owe Jesus is immeasurable. Life can be gained only through the sacrifice of Jesus. And how did Jesus really end up on the cross? Who put him there? Was one person responsible for crucifying our Lord? Did some political group conspire and scheme to trap Jesus? Did he die by accident? Hebrews 9:26 answers our question. He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In 1 Timothy 2:5-6 we read, the man Christ Jesus who gave himself a ransom for all. And the answer is that Christ gave himself to be put on the cross. This willing sacrifice was brought into existence a long time ago. So let your imagination take you back in time many eons ago. A moment in time when God was alone with his first and only creation, the Logos. God foresaw that something would change the direction of life. God saw the principle of evil causing a ripple in the world. He knew this ripple of evil would cause a drastic change in the universe. God shared this coming evil change with the Logos. A plan of salvation was already in the making. In Isaiah 6 and 8 we read, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. John 3:16, we read that very familiar text, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God's forecast was true. Lucifer rebelled. A host of angels fell with him, and mankind felt the ripple of evil. Evil was gaining momentum, and a wave was felt in the universe. Jesus' mission became twofold. One was the saving of mankind. The other was the suppression of evil. It was no accident as to who put Jesus on the cross. Jesus volunteered to be the perfect sacrifice. It was this perfect sacrifice that will redeem the world of mankind from sin and death. This, without a doubt, would be the greatest sacrifice ever offered on behalf of the human race. And many ages from now, mankind and the hosts of the universe will look back and never forget the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. This must be the supreme gift from God. We thank God for our everyday experiences. The American Heritage Dictionary gives a definition of experiences as an active participation in events or activities leading to the accumulation of knowledge or skill. Isn't this exactly why the Lord gives us daily experiences? Is it not sufficient to pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When the service is clearly shown to us, we should immediately do our best to perform the duty, thus making us doers of the word. As we accepted God's word as truth early in our Christian walk, we soon found ourselves being marked as peculiar, very different from the world in general. In 2 Timothy 2:5, this change made a very profound difference in our outlook on the things we said and did during our Christian walk. We found experiences both light and difficult. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we found our experiences becoming more pointed in certain areas of learning and development of Christian character. These Christian experiences are meant to put off the old man and his deeds, and putting on the new man, which has been renewed in Christian growth by grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be rooted and grounded in love. The Christian experience is to build character, adding to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. 2 Peter 1, 5-7. The Christian experience is to be laborers in the Lord's vineyard, working together with God, and to be soldiers of the cross. Some experiences come from visiting the widows and the fatherless and their afflictions, and to keep ourselves from the world. In these last days, our experiences are more difficult. We have more fiery trials more frequently. In 1 Peter 4:12, we read, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which come upon you for your testing. It is the fiery experiences that burns off the dross. It's the flaming fires that produce the pure gold. These gifts of experiences should rank high on our list. Those thoughts were taken from a reprint article, number 945, titled Light for the Righteous. It was a very excellent article. Let's look at one more gift. Let's look at the gift of the truth. You know, this could be the most ultimate gift from God. When we look around, we see all the trouble and problems that the world of mankind is facing today, and the uncertainties of life as man plunges himself into social, political, moral, and economic disasters. We can only thank God for this truly wonderful gift of truth found in His Word, the Bible. Since our Lord's return, God's consecrated people have enjoyed the privilege of an information explosion era. We have at our study disposal numerous Bible translations, Bible dictionaries, concordances, and through the seventh messenger, the studies in the Scriptures, which are the keys to the understanding of God's Word. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we read, "Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. It is now up to us to carry forth this message of truth and proclaim it to the world." In 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth?" Surely, this vision of truth is very important to all people. In Proverbs 29:18, we read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And in Habakkuk 2:2-3, "Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run." This vision, the divine plan of the ages, will save the people. It will give the people hope from a lost condition to a condition of life everlasting. And what is so unique about this chart? It's not the vertical and the horizontal lines. It's not the plotting of the ages, the semi-arcs across the top. What's important is the fact that this reveals God's thinking. You could say this is a computer readout of God's mind, divine plan of the ages. This vision ranks high in the gifts. There's still one more gift for our list. One gift which was not mentioned earlier, and I'm sure that all of you have by now put this gift on the top of your own list. It's the ultimate, supreme gift from God. This ultimate gift from God is God Himself. For it is God who is the designer of this earth, of this universe. For it is God who is the Savior. He gave His only begotten Son. It is God who brought us together, that we have brethren. It is God who plans our experiences, and it is God who gave us His Word, the truth. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen.